Please turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 is one of the one of the passages that I really enjoy, because you get to see the heart and passion of the Apostle Paul. This is an emotional passage. There are tears in this passage. What is taking place? Well, the Apostle Paul is heading through on a missionary journey. He stops by close to Ephesus, which is a church that he had already planted several years prior. And he comes by near there and he calls for the elders, the leaders of that church, to come. And they meet together. And the Apostle Paul has some final words and exhortations for these elders of the church in Ephesus. I'd like you to pick up in verse 7, look at your Bibles, chapter Acts 20, verse 17. And I'll begin reading there. "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you all, at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship." Well, we have been in the midst of a series on giving, a series that is helping us address in this very important part of the Christian life and walk, to understand that giving begins with God, to realize that I have received great benefits from Him. And everything belongs to God. That means that I am a steward of God's possessions. Today, as we think about these principles of giving, I believe that it is very important to not overlook what Paul states here to the elders of Ephesus. Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." At first read, this can be a bit perplexing. I know from my own perspective growing up, Christmas time, it was spectacular. And why was it spectacular? Because I received. I remember waking up and my parents just had this desire to give to us as kids. And so there were all kinds of presents. And my grandparents too, presents piled up. And I can remember just waking up and descending the steps and just being excited to see what was there. To find the pile that had my name on it. And to realize that soon I would get to see what's behind that paper. I'm sure there are some of you that maybe experienced that in your life. Maybe some haven't. But I want you to contemplate and think about how prevalent it is in our lives to make much of the receiving and to belittle the giving. This just seems to be the natural bent of us as human beings. We just naturally want more. In fact, one of the Ten Commandments is this: thou shalt not covet. Now, God gives many different commands, but he does set apart the Ten Commandments, and they do seem to be a very appropriate summary of all of the commandments. And he chooses to make one of those ten to be this one: thou shalt not covet. Why? Well, God understands and he knows that we are, by our human nature and our flesh, we like things for ourselves. We like to receive. And sadly, so often when we do not receive, then comes our own sorrow or struggles or bitterness, or we take from somebody else. So therefore, this is a very, very helpful principle for Christians. Because what this does is it sets our mind in the way of God and the way God wants us to think. In other words, the benchmark or the standard is not the way the world thinks, but the way God wants us to think. Paul says in this, and of course I'm referring to verse 35, but he says that, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now what's interesting is we do not have a record in the Gospels, to my knowledge, of Jesus directly saying this sort of statement. Well, then what is Paul saying? Well, this is the Apostle Paul, who was sent by the Lord Jesus and spent time with the Lord Jesus, time that we do not have specific details about. We just know that it took place. And it is places like this that tell us that they had interaction and that Jesus spoke into Paul's life. It is so wonderful to have this. I can't explain to you in my own personal life how this has impacted me. How this has changed my perspective from a greedy little boy growing up, just wanting more and seeking, looking at my friends who had all of these other things and I lacked, right? It's such a tendency we can have. And to complain about it. And God just continuing to grow me, and I mean that, I'm still learning, I'm still growing, but to understand such a beautiful truth is a true blessing as I live life for him. So we need to talk about this. The church needs to know this and to live this. Now, why is this principle, it is more blessed to give, this truth, it is more blessed to give than to receive, why is it here? Why is it placed in this context, in this book of the Bible? As we read already, the Apostle Paul is on a journey, and I mean that in a greater sense than just his travels. He is on a journey from being a carnal man who was destructive to the way of Christ, and God saved him on that road to Damascus, and God took him and trained him and taught him and sent him forth to minister to the Gentiles the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is on an incredible journey of grace. As we read through the passage, that verses 17 through the end of the chapter, we met grace in verse 24. Look at it. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." It is more blessed to give than to receive. What is the "it" there? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Have you thought about the gospel? The good news of Jesus Christ. And how wondrous it is to give it out. Wow. As you contemplate and think of God's grace that He has given to you, the gospel of the grace of God, that the Apostle Paul has, his life is now changed, and he no longer counts his life dear unto himself, but he wants to finish his course with true joy. He wants to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. He warns the elders that there's going to be troubles amongst them. There will be wolves that will come in. There will be people who rise up from within to cause trouble in the church. He has warned them, verse 31, every one night and day with tears for 3 years. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Think about giving out the gospel. And how blessed it is, how happy it is to give that out. Yes, you have received it. Are you giving it out? Are you able in your life to experience that wondrous blessing of having the treasure of grace, God's grace in your life, and give it? You know what, as we think about it is more blessed to give than receive, think about your life. As the Lord Jesus was on the earth, he challenged his disciples to live lives with putting aside all other, focusing on him and following after him. We read places like, "Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me," he says. And so there's this aspect of your life and denying yourself and following after Christ. You see, we value so much of our lives. Frankly, we love ourselves, don't we? I mean, even the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, when he's speaking to husbands, he acknowledges that point, because he tells us to love our wives as we love ourselves, right? It's a common thing. We do love ourselves. We know, of course, that the two greatest commandments are these, right? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. it is more blessed to give than to receive. Think about your life. In what ways are you giving of your life for the cause of Christ, or in whatever way that God might be glorified? You see, this principle is so vast in its applications, but yet so direct in its purpose. You look at the immediate context here, and we read that the Apostle Paul, when in his life, he spent time with these people. He taught them, he warned them, he exhorted them, he preached the word. Notice that he spent time working among them. If you look at verse 34, yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I've showed you, verse 35, all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak. So as we think about the gospel that we have so wondrously received, the grace of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Think about your life that you have been given and granted to live as long as God would have you to live. It is more blessed to give than to receive. But I know that in this context, there is also the physical aspect of money and finances that are involved here. You cannot miss verse 33 where it says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. So when we bring up these kinds of things, gold and silver, it speaks of the physical use of money in exchange. Gold and silver are those things of value. Gold and silver still, when we see that or it's talked about, they has a glimmer in our eye. There's value here. This is why the vast majority, right, of wedding rings are what, gold? Because we want it to be of value. Paul says, I have coveted no man's gold or silver or apparel. What does he mean by that? I mean, he's the one stating this. Well, it would have been obvious and understood by these Ephesian elders with whom he spent 3 years that he lived the kind of life that he wasn't hungry for more money, for nicer clothes. That was not his purpose and drive in life. He was not trying to dress like his neighbors. Nor was he trying to have his house as nice as the others. That was not his purpose or drive. But yet, he recognized the importance of taking care of his needs and the needs of those that were with him. So this is true. We know that Paul was a tent maker. This whole term has become a way of referring to people who serve in ministry and they work themselves another job to help support their ministry. Tent making, it's become, that term has come to that definition. It comes from this, because the Apostle Paul was one who made tents. And that is commonly understood to be his main work. And from this text, it seems as if that's what he did in Ephesus. And he did not demand the support of the churches or of the people, but he sought to work hard and to make sure that his needs and those that were with him were met. But not only that, notice what he says here in verse 35, so laboring you ought to support the weak. There were others who had needs, who were weak. And so he also labored, and he found great joy in giving. it is more blessed to give than to receive. To obey this takes faith. To live this out, you have to believe that this is true. Because everything else that's out there, all the messages that are out there are telling you, receive, receive, receive. That's where you're going to find your happiness. Strive to get this or to be like them. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Opportunities to give, whether it be the grace that God has shown to you, the gospel, or whether it be of your own life, or whether it be of your own finances, opportunities will come your way to give, will come my way to give. And we've got choices to make. Now, the beautiful thing is that I'm not up here to tell you what to do with your money or with your life or with your grace, with the gospel. The scriptures tell us that. We know that the gospel is to be given out across the entire world. We know that Jesus told us with our life to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and to follow after him. And we know that the finances that come into our lives are truly his, and he has seen fit by his grace to allow us to be stewards of it for a time. Because that's all it seems, right? Just a time. Because it comes through, and then it's back out, right? So, what are you going to remember when an opportunity arises for you to be able to give? The words of the Lord Jesus. So, am I going to believe that? Do I really believe that it is more blessed to give than to receive? Am I going to truly find more blessing on the other side of this giving than I will in receiving? Listen, I'm with you. I know that when money comes in, it's like, yes, this is exciting. We can, you know, you can, all kinds of different things, right? The opportunities open up. But let us not forget that as the money and things come in, the opportunity to give opens up. And there is such joy and blessing in giving. I hope you know someone in your life who is a good example of this. Because all you have to do is look at their life. And somebody who is a giver, you just can't miss the joy. You can't miss their excitement. I have, on many occasions, been on the other end of an exchange. I have been the receiving one who has received many times. And I watch people and their eyes. And I watch their smile. I watch people as my children unload a full car full of groceries that have been given to us. And the eyes of my children are like, wow, we're rich, is their comment. You know, you watch this and you see the joy of the person who has just given hundreds of dollars for this family. And you take a step back and you say, you know what? This is true. Jesus does know what he's talking about. So God, I want to be part of that too. What are the opportunities that God's laying before you? I want to encourage you, trust him. Believe this to be true. Take that step and say, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to give. And be excited to know that you're walking in the obedience and in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we not be afraid as a church, right? We have opportunities to give as a church, and May we not be afraid, but may we remember to rejoice in this wondrous thing too. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Blessing is blessing. It is good. That means it's a good thing. It's a happy thing in your life. So what about it? Is God bringing things, opportunities, people to mind in your life? Listen to that. Heed the work of God and His Spirit. And join the ranks of givers, of blessed ones, who are walking in true joy as they've experienced the truth of Jesus' words. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Well, God, this is a good principle for us. And Lord, we come and we're face to face with it right now. And this is a moment by moment life decision, but God, hearing this, and I know so often we're all familiar with this probably, but Lord, hearing it again and laying it on our hearts helps us to realize this is true. How am I doing with this? And so, church, we want to be a people that are truly experiencing the blessings of God. And you know what? Give. Let us give. Parents, be an example of this to your children. May we as parents just help our children to see the joy of giving, the opportunity to bless others. And God, even help us as we are receivers. I know I have wrestled with this because there is a pride that comes. I don't want people to give to me because it makes me feel like I'm somebody who is needy. We don't like to be like that. And yet, God, it is a blessing for people. And I'm thankful that even from the other side that you're teaching us and you're teaching me to be a good receiver, that others may receive the blessing of giving. And I pray that you would help us with that too, Lord. God, we have many opportunities to give. So help us, I pray. And I know you will take care of us. In Jesus' name, amen.